Last week we were looking at Isaiah chapter 43 at verse 1, and we were seeing that Isaiah brings to God's ancient people the message of judgment and of exile. They have rejected Jehovah, their great King, and now he is going to give them over to experience the consequences of that rebellion. But the news of exile fills the hearts of the people of God with anxiety and trepidation. Have they lost all their privileges? Have they forfeited all the promises that God had made to their fathers? And especially, have they lost their eternal well-being and the security that had been promised to them? To an anxious and terrified people, God comes through the lips of the prophet Isaiah and he says to them, "Fear not, do not be afraid." And he gives four reasons why they should not fear. First, because he is their creator, the one who caused them to come into being from nothing. Secondly, he is their designer, the one who shaped and molded them, the one who gave purpose and meaning to their lives. Thirdly, he is their redeemer, the one who rescued them, even at great cost to himself. And fourthly, he is the one who loved them, the one who called them by name, the one who delights in them, because they are the apple of his eyes. To an anxious and terrified people, the word is fear not. But does this mean that life was now going to be easy for the people of God? Not at all. Verse 2, he continues, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." The reference there to the fire and the flame, throughout the Bible, it is a sign of divine judgment or of human hostility. In other words, God is saying to them, you will be faced with enemies, and the enemies will come and overpower you. And you will have to walk through the fire, and you will have to experience the scorching flame for yourself. But the imagery of the waters and of the rivers reminds us also that there was not just human and spiritual hostility that was ahead of them. There was also the exile and the movement from one land to another. And it was the homeless. It was those who were being driven from their own homes. It was they who had to pass through the waters. It was these travelers who had to go through the rivers and so find home and refuge for themselves. And so there was going to be human hostility, spiritual enmity, but there was also going to be the fact that because they were travelers, moving from one place to another, that they had to pass through the waters and they had to cross the rivers. And so the description of the fire as well as the water is the complete picture of all the trials that can befall a human being in this fallen world. All the trials, all the tribulations, all the persecutions, all that demands and calls for the exercise of spirituality and of faith, the people of God will have to experience. But I think there is also here a reminder of what God had already done for His people. He had taken them through the waters of the Red Sea. It was He who caused them to cross the river of Jordan. And now before them, there was the burning fiery furnace and the flame that was potentially destructive. And so He is saying to them that the waters, they were there, you have to cross them, and you will have to cross them again. The river you have crossed before, you will have to cross it again, and perhaps yet again. The fire and the flame, they are still ahead of you. But when Isaiah uses these words, he reminds himself and he reminds his people also of the divine judgment. For during the time of Noah, God judged the world, and it was a judgment by water. And after God had seen the devastation that the flood had caused, He made a covenant with humanity, of which the rainbow is the sign. And He said, "Never again will I destroy the earth by water, but I will destroy it by fire." And so when Isaiah uses this imagery, he speaks not only of the past, he speaks of the present, and he speaks of the immediate as well as the ultimate future. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you." So these things tell us, first of all, that the Bible paints a picture of realism. Every other religion, every other philosophy and ideology, every other ism is escapism. But the Bible is not escapism. This is realism. This is reality as God sees it. And this is reality as God invites us to see it. And as fallen human beings living in a fallen world, this is the world that we face. This is the life that you and I are called to live. You and I will be faced with waters, and you and I are called to pass through these waters. You and I will inevitably come to rivers where we shall not find bridges, and yet we are called to cross these rivers. You and I will inescapably meet fiery furnaces, and you and I will be called to walk through them, and we have to walk through them. And yes, in our experiences, we shall meet with a flame that is scorching. and we will be called to experience it. The Bible gives to us realism. Secondly, we see it is unvarnished realism. In verse 2, the English translates it, "When you pass through the waters." The Hebrew can be translated either "when you pass through the waters" or "whenever you pass through the waters." He does not say "if you pass through the waters." It is "when" or "whenever you pass through the waters." That is to say that the waters and the rivers, the fire and the flame, are unavoidable for human beings, even for Christians. They will be there, and we will meet them more than once in our lives and in our lifetimes. Whenever you pass through the waters, whenever you cross the rivers, whenever you walk through the fire, whenever you meet the flame that can scorch you. The Bible then is a book of realism. It is also a book of unvarnished realism. When God calls us in Jesus Christ, He does not call us to escape the consequences of a sinful world. He calls us to live in this sinful world by the power of His Holy Spirit. And I wonder where you are this morning before God. How are you and how am I living my life? Am I trying to escape all the realities of living as a fallen creature in a fallen world? Am I trying to bury my head in the sand and somehow hoping that all these things will never happen to me? These are words that were given to God's people. This is the experience of every human being. And this, yes, it is also the experience of Christian people. The waters, the rivers, the fire, and the flame. The realism, the unvarnished realism of Holy Scripture. But thirdly, we see the hope of Holy Scripture. For when he says in verse 2, "You pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you." When you pass through the waters, with you, he says, I will be. And in the Hebrew, the I is emphatic. He literally says, with you, I will be with you. In other words, you will not be alone. I will stand with you. I will be beside you. I will support you. I will strengthen you. I will comfort you. I will console you. You will not be abandoned. You will not be forsaken. You will not be alone. I am the Lord your God. I created you. I made you. I redeemed you. I love you. I delight in you. And how can I give you up? If you give up on me, it is impossible for me to give up on you. I will be with you. In the language of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he stands with his people, he takes upon himself our heavy yoke, and he gives to us a lighter yoke, a lighter burden that you and I are able to carry. And so he says, you are not abandoned orphans in a frightening world. You are my children. I am your heavenly Father. I care about you because I created you. I have purpose for you. I give meaning to your existence. When you cross the rivers, I will be with you. When you have to take on the waters, I will be there with you. When you have to walk through the fiery furnace, I will be walking with you. And when you have to experience the scorching flame, I will surround you with my presence. And perhaps that's exactly where you are even this morning. The waters, the rivers, the fire and the flame, they come to us in many, many different ways. For some of us, it is physical. We are struggling with physical issues. For others, it may be the struggle with relationships, or perhaps the craving for relationships, or perhaps the pressure is financial and you are anxious as to how you're going to make ends meet before the end of this month. But it isn't just physical or material. The pressures can sometimes be psychological. They can be emotional. We have reached a point when we say our hearts cannot cope, that we cannot go on with our lives. And we feel that we are drowning in the sea and there is none to care for us. It may be physical, it may be material, but it could be psychological, it could be emotional. But is it not true that every one of us, whether Christian or not, we have our spiritual struggles also? Our struggle against sin, our struggle against the forces of hell and of evil, our struggles against a world that is under the control of the prince of darkness, our struggles against the forces of Satan, and we say, how are we going to manage it? Will I get through this life? Will I be able to fight the good fight of the faith? Will I be able to finish my course? Will I be able to be triumphant at the end? Will I be able to find myself presented before the Father with exceeding grace and glory? The only way that we can survive is not with our own strength, but the strength of the God who says, I am with you. So there is the picture of realism, the picture of unvarnished realism. But there is also the picture of hope. And it is the picture of unlimited hope. For he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Did you see that? He says to his people, I will be with you. But he says even more, I will ensure, I will use all my power, I will use all my goodness in order to protect you even in the midst of evil. The waters will not overwhelm you. The rivers will not drown you. The fire will not singe you. And the flame will not kill you. I will not only be with you, I will be your shelter. I will be your rock and your refuge. No harm
will come over you because you are mine.
Not just hope, it is a picture of unlimited hope, unrestricted hope. You and I are called to pass through the waters, to cross the rivers, to endure the fire, to experience the flame. But you and I are not alone. In the midst of these dark and discouraging experiences, God Himself is with us, and He uses His sovereign power, and He uses the armies of heaven for the protection, for the well-being, and for the good of His people. And perhaps you're listening to all that and you're saying, is this really true? How can I be sure? There is only one answer, but I want to give it to you this morning in two parts. The first part is this. Only a few years after the prophet Isaiah had spoken these words, the enemy did come, and he came in the form of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Chaldeans. In 586 BC, 586 years before Jesus Christ, Nebuchadnezzar's army ransacked Jerusalem and took away the finest people among the Jews as exiles into Babylonia. And among the people who were taken away as prisoners of war were four young men of exceptional talent. And the four young men were called Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men were trained in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were made rulers in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And as we read from Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the friends of Daniel, refused to bow down and worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made in his land. And for this reason, Nebuchadnezzar was going to throw them into the fiery furnace. And as the king threatens them, they say to the king, "You can throw us into the fiery furnace, but we will not bow down and worship your golden image." Why did they say that? They said, "If you throw us into the fiery furnace, our God, the God whom we worship, is able to save us from your hand, O mighty King of Babylon." You know why they were able to say that? Because they knew Isaiah chapter 43. God, through Isaiah, had given to them His promise that when they walk through the fiery furnace, that He will be with them, and that the flame of the greatest furnace will not consume or harm them. They trusted the word of God. They committed themselves into the sovereign hand of Jehovah, and yet they said to the king, "Our God is able to protect us, but even if in His sovereign will He does not do it, we will not bow down and worship your golden image." You know why you and I can take these promises and believe on them? Because 500 years ago, three men proved these words to be true. And you know, I'm sure, it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was Daniel who was thrown into the den of hungry lions. And you know what Darius the Mede, who was not a Christian, saw? He saw exactly what Nebuchadnezzar saw in the fiery furnace. He said, "Did we not throw three men into the fiery furnace? Why is it that I see four human figures and one looks like the Son of God?" The God who promised to be with his people when the fires came, he was with them. And my brothers and sisters, whatever fire you and I may have to walk through, whatever flame you and I might be called to experience, however deep the rivers, however great the waters, you and I, if we are Christians, will not be alone. We shall prove that His grace is sufficient for all our needs. That's the first part of the answer. But this is the second. Daniel was not alone in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not alone in the fiery furnace. God was always with them. And you know why that was possible? Because 2,000 years ago, on Calvary, Jesus Christ was crucified. And as he was experiencing the trauma of the most cruel and the painful death, all the lions of hell were unleashed upon him. Psalm 22 tells us that he was surrounded by the bulls of Bashan and the wild dogs were attacking the Son of God. And as he walked through the fire and the flame of the judgment of a thrice holy God, he looked up towards heaven and all he saw was darkness. He was forsaken. He was abandoned by God. And the one moment when he was seeking the support and the comfort and the consolation of his Father, there was none to help him, to stand with him. Until finally, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" My friend, that day on Golgotha, he, the Son of God, was forsaken, so that if today you and I are in him, when we go through the waters, when we cross the rivers, when we walk through the fire, when we experience the flame, he was forsaken so that you and I will never, ever be forsaken. It is only when you and I are in Christ Jesus that the waters will not overwhelm us. The rivers will not drown us, the fire will not kill us, and the flame will never hurt us. And so my prayer for myself, as well as for you, that you and I will know this God, who is our Creator, our Maker, our Redeemer, and the Lover
of our souls.
May God bless His word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 93. Psalm 93. And we are singing here the whole psalm. The Lord does reign and clothes the sea with majesty most bright. His words to show Him clothed to be and girt about with might. The world is also established that it cannot depart. Thy throne is fixed of old, and Thou from everlasting art. The floods, O Lord, have lifted up, they lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves and made a mighty noise. But yet the Lord that is on high is more of might by far than noise of many waters is, or great sea billows are. Thy testimonies every one in faithfulness excel, and holiness forever, Lord, Thine house becometh well. Psalm 93, the whole psalm, and we stand to sing to God's praise. Unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Thank you.